Well, praise the Lord. I want to share with you, I've been talking about the mark that Jesus leaves on us, leaving a mark. And again, I had these four subjects in mind, and I'm going to just stick with them. And I know that there's more areas in our lives that when I start to really develop the thought pattern of where Jesus has left a mark on me, is there evidence that that mark has been left to where now I go and I... something happens. There's a cause and effect. You know, as I get, I love sharing about getting hit by a paintball. When you get hit by a paintball, it leaves a mark. And that the effect of a paintball hitting your skin leaves a bruise on the inside to where there's evidence on the outside, right? I love that illustration. It seems like it works with God, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus leaving an internal mark. There's external evidence. Again, I just think we ought to just sit there for a minute. I don't know why I like to just sit there for a minute. Okay, all right. I keep forgetting, and maybe this one week I'll, Robin has, because like I said, we used to come home to my lovely wife at the time. I'd bring my boys out there. These were young boys, teenagers, and we would come home, and it was bragging rights who had the biggest bruise. And so we would strip down to our undies in front of my wife, and she would sit there and take pictures of us. And in wherever the marks were left, it was bragging rights to see who would leave the most marks. And yeah, it was even my brother Matt. Well, he'd come home too and be like, "Look at this one." And so the best ones, I got to tell you, since I'm talking about it for a second, the best marks that were left is when you got hit. And I need to step out here so you can see. And please, I'm not going to show you anything but if you got hit in the upper thigh, inner thigh right there, not to where it was hitting the good stuff or the bad, whatever, however you want to look, but man, that was the best bruise. If I got hit there, the bruise would be literally my whole entire inner thigh. Those were the good ones. And man, did they hurt really good. It's like, oh.
We can still do that for you.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. Again, I'll take Alfonso. I'll pass on the paintball. I don't know if we just grew up or I don't know what happened. I grew old. Blake, what happened? Why did we quit paintballing? I don't know. We still have the, that never stopped me before. It's like having to pay for, anyway. Yeah, that could be true too. Yeah. The four areas, the subjects that I want to talk about and it's interesting as I develop these, is thinking about them, talking about them, praying and studying about them. There's these areas that I believe that Jesus leaves a mark in us and on us, and it's the area that of forgiveness. And as he forgives us, as God forgives us, he says, "The mark I leave on you of forgiveness is a mark that I expect you to do the same as I've done." And he's very point blank, very strong about that point, because as we represent Jesus to those that don't know him, and even those that do know him, if we represent Jesus as unforgiving and harsh and cold hearted, and to where we hold account and where we remember things and we take an account and we say, okay, that's I'm going to hold against you. And then we call ourselves a follower of Christ, and we're representing Jesus as being unforgiving and not full of grace and mercy and truth. Then he takes issue with that. Such strong issue. He says, if you don't forgive, then your forgiveness that was once given to you will be reinstated, be basically recalled. That's harsh. I don't know. That's what he tells us in the Bible. You guys remember the story, right? About the unforgiving servant. He says, basically, it's going to be now put back on you. Ah, I don't like that. Do you like that? I don't know. So maybe paintball is a little easier than the mark of Jesus, because he does. He does expect us, as he forgives us, to forgive others. and I don't think that there's, I don't think that there's a place where unforgiveness is allowed. I tried finding it, and it's not in Scripture, and the Holy Spirit does not allow me to get away with it in my own personal life. He just does not allow it. He doesn't allow us to get away with it. Now, we could still choose to be unforgiving, but then we're choosing also to risk being unforgiven. I don't know if we really like that, do we? I don't think we like that, because it's a harsh truth that we've got to walk in. And I believe it to be a scriptural truth. It causes me to just really look at myself and say, okay, where is there any place in my life that I'm holding a grudge, that I'm choosing to set a standard, that one that I'm not able to live up under God? That's a hard one, right? So we got to walk through that and walk through that. And then the other one is giving. As God's given to us, he says, now I'm asking you to give back. And that giving back is what? The 10%, the tithe that we say, is, in fact, it's referred to as a giving back to God, our tithe. So it's, in other words, as God gives to us all that we have, all that we that exists in our life, all that we use to live off of, all of our provision comes from him, and we give it back to him. So as he gives to us, we give back to him, correct? Now, these other two areas I want us to look at, they're interesting, because I think that they then kind of come down to what people do in our lives and what we do to people. And this other area is in serving. I'm going to read John chapter 13, verse 1 through 17. It's a lot of verses. We'll backtrack, talk about it a little bit. So if you guys with me for a minute, you guys with me? All right, good. Make sure everybody's awake. Jackie, you doing okay over there, bud? Are you? Okay, good. All right, good. And I don't want to have to put you over here with the kids, calling you for having your phone out. You got your Bible on your phone, right? Okay, there you go. Yeah. Come on, go with me, Jack. Work with me. John chapter 13, starting in verse 1. Jesus, knowing, I love, yeah. Okay, now I need to check myself, because I think I actually skipped. I skipped verses 1. I need to go here. Let's go to the actual Bible. John chapter 13. I'll actually start in verse 1. It says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were not in the world, who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, this was, of course, is what we know as the Last Supper. The devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, he rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself, and after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. And Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Peter's thinking, well, okay. So Simon Peter said to him, Lord, just not my feet, my hands, my head, everything. And Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but he is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him, and therefore he said, you are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. For most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Wow. Okay, so right off the bat, even as we end that, just thinking of that, I love how he ends it in that, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I just asked a simple question, and I know it's kind of a rhetorical question in that, do you want to be blessed by God? Yeah, that's the right answer. And we all have that answer. I don't think there's anyone in this room that would say, nah, I'm not really on board for that. No, we would like God's blessing, and we would want to be blessed by God. So he gives us this straight off, right off the bat. If you know these things and you do them, you put them into practice, you keep doing them, you'll be blessed. So let's talk about these things that he's referring to. First of all, in verse 3, Jesus gives us insight into what I believe is faith in action. He says this thing, he says it, makes a statement, and he says that, I'm going to go back to verse 3 now, find it. So Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God. When I talk about faith in action, what is faith? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So here Jesus is putting his faith into action. He knows where he came from. He knows where he's going. He's fully confident in who he is, and that enables him and allows him to actually do something that a lesser person, a servant, would do. Jesus is God in the flesh. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He has come to this world to save us, and yet he gets down on his hands and knees, takes off his robe, and he actually puts on a towel so that he can serve those people in his life that he's teaching. Now, the only way that he can do that correctly, rightly, with a good heart, and from a right place, is to know exactly who he is, right? And that's what I want us to just like look into this for a second, because I think that's what so many times hinders us from serving others, is the very thing that I would refer to as our mistaken identity. In other words, it's that which we actually think of ourselves differently than what we actually are. In other words, where we struggle with our security, we would call that insecure. Those who are insecure, and I think all of us are at some juncture in life. Hello? Okay. I know I am insecure at many places in my life. So wherever I find security in who I am also at a place of free and empowered to be something that what God wants me to be for the moment. Wherever I am insecure, I have to come up with something in me, something or some sort of circumstance that keeps me from being that which God wants me to be and do. Hello? Are you guys relating, tracking with me what I'm talking about here? Because I think what it does is it causes me to say, okay, for me to serve somebody, anybody, at any time, at any level where they're at, I need to know who I am. I need to know, I need to be confident in who I am. Because if I have to portray myself, if I have to have a place of where I have to bring myself at a level to where people see me in a certain light because of my insecurity, so I want to present myself as being somebody that has prominence, importance, or value. And if I have to do that, I will miss opportunities to actually serve. You guys following with me on this? Because it's real important that as Jesus gave us this example, he gave it to us from the place of his confidence in who he was, who he knew he was. And that's what faith is confidence in who we are. Hello? You guys with me? Okay, because I know this is, to some of us, this might be like, yeah, I know this. Let's get to something really good. I think it was, Was it you, Stephen, that said ask for a fresh word? I don't know if we're going to get a fresh one, but it might be something that's going to come at us to where we need to really tackle this in our own self. Because when I struggle with this, here's okay. You guys want to get deep down, nitty gritty, dirty? Only one person. Okay, you and I, Mike. Let's have a conversation. You know, I'm married to a lovely wife. We've been married 31 years now. And we have four children. Lovely children. They're fantastic. They're really amazing. I don't deserve the blessing that they are, to be honest. But I want to tell you something that I have constantly and am still constantly learning and growing in. And that is serving in my home. And it may seem like to some people that it comes easy or natural to me, but there's always a place that I choose to serve. I so thoroughly enjoy. I want us to do this. I want us to come to a place of really asking the Lord to examine, because where we are in our home is where we're going to be in the world. And I think that, in other words, what I've always said is what I am in the dark is what I am in the light. In other words, what I do and what I am at home alone is what I do and I am. That's my real self. Hello? And when I come to this place of challenging myself in the Lord, the Holy Spirit working on me, it's got to reach every area of my life. Hello? Even driving down the road. And you guys know I like to use that illustration because I always say it, and I say it so many times, is the best place to practice Christianity is in your car by yourself. No, I mean that. I mean it's the best place to practice being like Christ. Hello? It's the most challenging place to be like Christ in your car by yourself on the road with other blessed people. With other blessed-hearted people, yeah. Mm. So it must be true in the home. And I love to serve in my home. I love to serve in my home. But I have to die to myself to truly, genuinely, authentically serve. You may think, oh, well, it ought to just come natural. It ought to be just like, you should just want to all the time and just be, it's like, really? I'm being honest here. There's times that I feel like I just do enough, and that ought to be enough. Does anybody else feel like that?
Yeah.
Ever? Let me tell you, my wife, I love her to death. I love her so much. She's standing back there holding the baby right now, so she's listening. She's going to say, really? Back there. She loves things in our home a certain way. The bedspread put on the bed a certain way, pillows stacked, you know, situated a certain way. She loves that. Now, me as a guy, it's just like, I'm being honest, as a guy, I'm thinking, what's the point? What's the point sometimes? But here's where I love to, the challenging to serve is this. And you guys, I want you to get with me on this because I think it translates to all areas of our life. Is that for me to genuinely, authentically, and truly serve and put her first above me is to want to do it as she would like it done. Instead of my guy thinking, say, isn't it good enough that it's just there? Hello? Are you guys with me? Is anybody with me on this in your own life? Do you deal with this at all in your own life? How about where you work? Isn't it good enough that I just show up every day? What do you think that Jesus meant when he said to go the extra mile? Anybody really think about that? We know the teaching. Jesus teaches it. He said if somebody asks you to go 1 mile, go with them two. What do you think that actually means? Any takers?
Do more than what's required.
Do more than what's the minimum requirement. The minimum requirement for a Jew at that time under Roman rule was to carry the pack of a Roman soldier 1 mile. And that was the minimum requirement. You had to, if they asked you to carry their gear 1 mile, you had to. It was the minimum requirement. And Jesus comes along and says, carry it an extra mile. You mean do more than what's just the minimum requirement? Ask yourself, ask the Holy Spirit to search stuff in your heart. Where am I putting my foot down to say, well, that's what's all that's required of me as a husband, as a father, as a worker? Wherever I am at in life, am I doing just the minimum and saying, that's enough? And you ought to be happy with it. I'm going to tell you, that's not Christ-like. Christ-like is to say, how is it that I can serve you an extra mile? An extra mile. And it, yes, it throws things, it can sometimes throw things out of whack. People might look at you and say, you're different. Yes, absolutely. You're different because you go the extra mile, you serve, you do something that is above and beyond the minimum requirement. And then you claim the name of Jesus. You talk about being a Christian. Wow, there's something, and I believe it to be, there's something real to what you're talking about. That is one of the greatest compliments that I get to hear, and I hear every now and then. There's something real to what you say, because I see you doing it. I see you doing it. I'm faced with this. I know I just got to verse 3, and I'm still in verse 3, but I'm faced with this challenge as being a pastor in a community where I'm connected to, and I have a relationship with other pastors. And my other friends, my friends who are pastors, they seem to, I'm this oddball of a pastor to them. Because I really do, I drive around in this big truck and in shorts and tank tops, and I do this work that is a lot different than what anything that they ever do. That because I'll be honest, the majority of them, they get to sit in a nice air conditioned office and do pastor things. I don't know what that is, but I know that they do pastor things. And so when they look at me and they have this like we talk about it and they look at me and they say, man, you're something about you that's, even my pastor friends, they say, you're just different than the rest of us. And I'm like, well, I'm going to tell you this, and I need to just be, I'm being very open and honest about it, because I believe that's what God has allowed me and permitted me and given me the honor to stay humble. Sometimes I get in my head about this. I go to people's house to take their stuff that they don't want anymore. Just think about that for a second. I mean, granted, it's great stuff most of the time, but a lot of times I'm just taking their stuff that they don't want anymore. And think about that as, just if you can, just get in my head for a second. I'm inviting you in. It's crazy in here. Sometimes it's wild and it's a ride, but if I were to not be, and I'm going to share this with you, confident in who I was in Christ, I would struggle with that, and I would have issues with that, and it would keep me from being able to humbly do God's work on a daily basis in a community that sees us as doing God's work on a daily basis. Because here I am, the pastor of our church, and I'm out getting their junk. I continue to ask the Lord to do this because I love it. I believe it. God has given me the privilege and the honor and the ability to just stay humble. He's formatted my life to stay humble. And I'm sharing that with you guys. And I think that this concept of service is a biblical practice to format you to stay humble, to walk humbly before God and man, serving them. Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. If that's the case, then that's, as we're followers of Christ, then that needs to be our mantra. Our objective is to serve. Hello? Amen? You see me, but I never see you, and I apologize for that all the time. Mm-hmm. And but I'm going to tell you this, it is a great honor to be humble in serving our community that way. And I'm just going to go this place that I think it's okay to go. It is a daily foot washing for me. I need you to hear that. That's a daily foot washing for me. So as Peter, remember, and then we'll get to the next aspect of this lesson, is that, remember, Peter struggled with Jesus washing his feet. He said, no, you're not going to wash my feet. His struggle with what Peter was dealing with was his pride, and I'm so glad and grateful that we get insight into Peter's pride of what he was struggling with. His pride was keeping himself from being served, but it was also going to be that place that he was going to be challenged to serve others. And in that place of pride that he was keeping him from being served, he had to then face this challenge. And Jesus said, well, I need you to do this. I need you to allow me to serve you so that you can experience what it means to be served so that you can go and serve. And in that going and serving, and of course, then Peter says, well, then wash all of me. I want all of it. And Jesus said, no. You're not getting it, Peter. You don't get it. See, and I love how it's presented, because when we are made, when our heart is made right, when we are righteous in Christ, when we are born again as believers, and I've committed my life to following Jesus, you don't need to do that all over again on a regular basis. What you need to do is stay in the practice of my will, his will be done, not my will be done. And that's the practice of foot washing on a daily basis. I love what Bert, let's see if I can say it right, Bernard of Clairvaux, says this, his feet washing is cleansing of those daily offenses which seem inevitable for those who walk in the dust of the world. And I believe that's to be the case of as we stay humble. It's the practice of staying humble is serving others, is putting others before yourself. Hello? Amen? Okay, let's move on. I can tell we're just chomping through this, because I think this is something that Jesus said, as I have done, I'm asking you to do. I'm compelling you. I'm saying do to others. We need to get that. We need to get that, right? Do as I have done to you. Serve each other as I have served you. Love each other as I have loved you. And if it's my desire to represent Jesus to others, I must serve where they are at. And again, it can only come genuinely from knowing who we are in Christ, who I am in Christ. When I know who I am in Christ, where I, as Jesus said, I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. That's what he knows. He basically knows he's in the middle and he knows where he is. Hello? That's a good word, I think, that we need to just stop and just reflect on. It's like, well, do I really know where I'm going? Do I have confidence in where I'm going, where I'm headed, my direction? Do I have confidence in where I've come from, to where now I can put my confidence in where I'm going? And when we come to that place of confidence in who we are in Christ, which confidence is another word for faith, when I have that faith in who I am in Christ, I can freely serve wherever God places me. That's, I don't know if I just seem to need to, I think to a lot of us, it's, I'm preaching to the choir, but I think that there's a place of where we hold back. And I believe that in this holding back or building up a hindrance to represent Christ because of my insecurity, because of my issues. I believe that when the church is really set free to be the servant of the world to the world, we're going to look like Jesus. And when we look like Jesus and when we represent Jesus to the world, I'm going to tell you this, and I believe this to be 100% true. I believe it to be 100% true. Jesus is very attractive. Very attractive to those who are in darkness and those who are hurting. Because Jesus is an answer, the answer to peace. Jesus is the answer to chaos. Jesus is the answer to the turmoil, to the loss. Jesus is always the answer to my struggles. And when I don't see Jesus as the answer to my struggles, it's somewhere there's been a disconnect. I haven't seen it's because I, it's not because I'm not seeing Jesus. It's not because Jesus isn't. It's because I'm not seeing Jesus correctly. You guys hear what I'm saying? No, you really are you catching down what I'm throwing? Because this is something I think is it's our duty, our call, our obligation, as Jesus has shown himself loving, graceful to you. It's our duty and objective to show that to others. Hello? That's actually awesome. I love it. I love that. The other aspect that we didn't touch on, and I think we need to, and this is where it gets into the, I think it's this is the deep end of serving. It's the deep end. Is Jesus washed the feet, the very feet, of the one who was in the process of betraying him at that moment? It's noted here that Judas was the one who'd already taken the money. He'd already had the meeting with the Pharisees, the high priests, and those that were planned. And he was, as soon as this dinner was over, as soon as this was over, he was meeting them to bring them to Jesus and kiss him to identify who Jesus was. And Jesus washed his feet also. You guys hear that? That's the deep water of serving that I don't think that we sometimes, and I said it last week, and somewhere have come up with this concept that Christians aren't supposed to be doormats. And I know that that's, you know, and I'm even careful how I say that, because I know that there's places in our lives that we need to be wise as serpents. In fact, this is every place, and gentle as doves. So when God compels us to serve those, he may compel you and inspire you, instruct you to serve somebody in your life that has betrayed you, that has hurt you. Yes. The movie, Paul? Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The newest one? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's probably one of the best parts of the whole movie, was where Luke as a physician was compelled to, by the Lord really, to go and help And the challenge, and of course they present the movie in dramatic fashion, was great to be able to do it. And the Lord did it. The Lord used him. Of course, it was Hollywood. And Jim Caviezel is my favorite actor on the whole planet. I think he's like, just because he played Jesus in The Passion, but I think he's fantastic. Anyway, go see it if you haven't seen it. It's a really good movie. Thank you for sharing that, because I think that's exactly what God is calling us to do. And you think about that, that's what that was portraying, even in that movie was the birth and really the struggles of the church in its first days. I don't think they're much different now. We may be more civilized and we don't do things, at least not in our earshot and eye shot, but that seem to be barbaric, but there still is the challenge, the challenge that we are up against to actually serve and to serve those in our lives that have hurt us, that have harmed us, that have betrayed us, that have double-crossed us, that have spoken ill of us, bad of us, made us look bad. You know, that sometimes goes deeper than an actual physical abuse is where somebody betrayed me on social media. And I don't laugh at it as though it's like comical, but I've seen people seriously get really upset over the betrayal just on social media. And I'm like, oh my goodness, wow, that really must have hurt bad. Because the way that you're ranting and raving about this person is like, wow, they really hurt you bad. I believe as Christ followers, our challenge is to do what? Serve them, forgive them, love them right where they're at. He says to love your enemy, to serve those in your lives that are causing you struggle. Because that's exactly what representing Christ is all about. Hello? And I know this is, I'm asking you to ask the Holy Spirit to, you personally to ask the Holy Spirit to give you an opportunity to serve. Yes. Amen. Yeah. Not till you stop. Yeah. And it's not as easy as 1, 2, 3 and do this, that, and the other. You know, we're faced with it on a regular basis because we do have we're a charity that feeds thousands of people on a regular basis. But to support that charity, we have a thrift shop, and that thrift shop is a business, and we have to be wise in that business. And there's sometimes in that wisdom of running a business, you offend people. People get upset and people don't understand what you do, why you do it, and they don't like what you do and why you do it. And some people will let you know that they don't like what you do and why you do it. And there's so many times that all of us, from Brittany, myself, Blake, and Linda, and Leslie, and all of us that are at the thrift shop on a regular basis, Stephen too, is that constant challenge to serve and love, even in the midst of this accusation of of what we do and don't do with everything that's, it's just all given to you. You should be giving it to me. Oh, you'd be surprised at how many times that thing is said. Or you should take anything and everything. You know, you guys only want stuff that's really good. It's like, yeah. It's true. We don't want to have to throw your junk away. It costs us money. It's kind of defeating of what. But to do this in a way that is loving and serving is sometimes a big challenge. And so many times, and we're all faced with it, you know, all of us can sit and tell stories about it because we all have them, multiple stories of the challenge to love and serve somebody when they're accusing you falsely of being something that you're not. And that's the challenge, and that is to represent Christ in those moments. In those moments, is well worth it. And I guarantee it. There's been times where we've had to, and I'm going to say this, had to shake the dust, wipe the dust off our feet, and say, "I'm sorry, we can't help you. We can't come to any kind of sort of conclusion because you're not reasoning. You have no reasoning." And then there's times that we just keep pushing and pushing and pushing and loving and serving. And oh my gosh, I have made the best friends of the people that came up me the harshest right off the bat. I mean, accusing me of, I remember this guy accused me of stealing his antenna off of a TV. And like I wanted this antenna off of a TV that he bought. This is like years ago. Like, and it was one of the old TVs that had an antenna, rabbit ears on it. And he said, "You took it from me. You stole it. I bought it and you stole it off me because you wanted it to put on." I'm like, "I don't know what you're talking about, brother." And I had to constantly apologize to him and eat crow and just say, "I'm sorry. I'll look everywhere. I don't have it." And he was accusing me. And to this day, I got to tell you, because of the love that God had given me for this man, and he is the most cross. And you guys know who I'm talking about, probably. Hi, Leslie, Randy, and he has this rah, rah, rah voice. He comes in, and, man, I tell you, now we hug each other, and he can't wait to come up and talk to me and share with me what's going on in his life. And I'm thinking, that was an opportunity. He accused me of being evil, and I took it as an opportunity to represent Christ. Hello? Come on, brothers and sisters, let's go with that. Amen, glory. So, every time that you're faced with that, look at it as an opportunity to represent Christ to the situation. Unless I get selfish and I think of me. If I think of me, oh, it's on. We're fighting. We're duking it out. I'll chase you down the road. I got a bigger truck than you. Oh, stop. You guys laugh because you're laughing because you know you've done it too. That's it. Let me move on to the fourth point, and I think it's one I'm hoping that my son Devin will kind of elaborate on this, and I think it's fantastic. And I'm just going to ask a question. Did someone share the gospel with you and so leave a mark on your life? Okay, let me ask it again. When you committed your life to Jesus, was it because somebody shared the gospel of the love of Jesus with you? Correct. Yes. Yes is the answer. So therefore, the mark that has been left because somebody shared the love of Christ with you, whether it was in church, whether it was with a coworker, a friend, a relative, somebody shared Jesus to you before you knew him. You guys know where I'm going, right? Yes. Let's go with this. Then let's go with it. I don't even have to say it. I'm going to read Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 15. It says this, and this is in the New Living Translation. Sorry, Steve, just read with me, unless you can find it real quick. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 15 in the New Living Translation. Says, in fact, it says, the message is very close at hand. Listen to this. I want us to hear this word because as we develop this concept of where God has called us, as he's left a mark, then he's called us to leave a mark. The message is very close at hand. So there's a very real possibility that there's that that a person is very close to receiving the message at hand of the gospel. And that is eternal. That is the eternity of their soul. So the message is very close at hand. It is in your, it is on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously, generously, another translation says, richly to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? Oh boy, here we go. And how can they believe in him if they have not heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless somebody tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? I'm commissioning you in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, sending you to go and share the gospel of Jesus to those that don't know him. Amen? You've been commissioned. Amen. And then he goes on and he says, that is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. And you have a shirt to remind it. Yep, it only costs $100 per shirt. Okay, never mind. All towards Reagan's cause. Amen. Or the cause of the gospel is what it's about. Again, the question, did somebody share it with you? Go share it with somebody. I'm going to ask you then a real quick question. I believe this is because I think this is just ask yourself and ask the Holy Spirit. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to show you something about you that you might not know. Maybe you do know. But what is it that hinders me, stops me from sharing about Jesus? What is it that hinders me from talking about Jesus, from sharing the love of Jesus to other people? All of us have different reasons. I'm going to tell you. I know that there's a ton of them out there. I have my own, and I know all of us have different ones. I believe all of us have a slight hindrance somewhere. So ask God the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what that hindrance is, and humbly confess it and profess it and say, God, I need your strength. I need you. My faith is weak in this area. Will you help me? Will you give me? Will you increase my faith, my confidence? The area may be ignorance. I don't know how. Well, that's good news because you don't need to really know how. The Holy Spirit, if you really trust and want God to use you, to share, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. I love this, Alfonso and I have come to this conclusion that the Holy Spirit is this awesome, dynamic translator. You can just totally just blow it. You can say, you know, if your heart is right and you want to love somebody with the love of Christ, I'm not giving you permission to just be a babbling idiot. That's not what I'm saying. So learn things so you know what to share. But the Holy Spirit has this awesome capability of taking your words that are all maybe jumbled up and twisted and not coming out correctly and translating them into the heart of somebody because of the love of God and the Holy Spirit who loves that person to where they hear it something totally different. Amen. And that's good news. So you guys hear what I'm saying? So quit making that excuse. That one doesn't fly. It just might be fear. Fear of, you know, not wanting to look like a, you know, a Jesus freak, or they'll look at me funny. Well, then you need to ask the Holy Spirit to give you the courage, the power, the sound mind that he tells us in 2 Timothy 1:7. He says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." The NIV words it, I think, more correctly to me. I think the NIV translation of the Bible was written solely for me. I don't know. That's a joke, but because everything that it says, it seems like it's like it relates to me. "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity," in the NIV, "but a spirit of fear," same thing, "but of power and of love and of a sound mind." If God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, instead he gives us power, love, and a sound mind, isn't there just this neat thing that we get to do as children of God? Ask him. As a child of God, ask God to give you power, love, and a sound mind. That's awesome. We just ask him as his children, as his child, "God, give me this." So then it simply comes down to just it's being a volitional thing. In other words, it's, do I really want to? Because all the excuses that we make that become hindrances, they get blown out of the water. They just don't fly. So God has called us to share our faith with those that don't know him. I think first and foremost, because somebody shared it with you, and eternity is in the balance for people's lives. Amen? I think I'm just going to conclude with this, and I think it's a neat little thought that the Lord gave me, that if we desire more of God, we must regard less of ourselves. And the more of ourselves that we put first, the less of God's blessings we will receive. Because remember that last phrase and that last statement that Jesus made. If you know these things, so I'm sorry you're here and you've heard what you now know. You are now called to do them. The doing of them, though, is going to bring blessings on your life. It's interesting that everything that God wants to give us and bless us with causes us to think less of ourselves and to push less of our agenda into the equation. Hello? Put God first and let all things come into order that are of God's. That's awesome. That's good news. Amen? Amen. Well, let's pray. Let's pray and worship the Lord. We're going to do two things as we're done worshiping. We're going to worship the Lord. We're going to pray for Megan as she goes off for a couple weeks. And then we're going to get to pray for Andrew and Nicola. They are the Murrays, by the way, if you didn't know who the Murrays were. When Billy announced the Murrays, it's Andrew and Nicola and their beautiful son. We're going to pray a blessing on them, and we're going to stay and gather around, and I think there's cake and all kinds of goodies if you want to eat some cake and tea and lemonade or something. I don't know, water. Whatever it is that we got to bless them, to send them off. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you, Jesus, that your love never fails again. Over and over again, your love never fails. Because it is real love. It's genuine. It's authentic. It is the real deal. And it gave so that we can have. Gave your life so that we can have eternal life. We're just asking you, Father God, by the power of your Spirit, that you would empower us with boldness, with courage to serve, with faith to serve right where we're at, right at the level of where we are called and compelled to serve.